You can be turning in your Bible. I hope wherever you're at, you'll get your Bible and open up to Luke chapter number 12. And so as you open up there, you know, I thought about that video. I thought, well, you know, even Jesus had problems. Jesus had concerns and Jesus had worries. And the question is, how did he deal with his worries and concerns? How did he deal with those? How, you know, what did he teach us about how to deal with them? And I thought, you know, so many people are worried right now. And this coronavirus has caused a lot of worry all across the nation. It's not like a hurricane that's just a certain area, you know. This is like nationwide. It's caused panic with many people, fear. It's caused worry. And, you know, even if you're not worried about the virus at all, you're like, I'm not worried about that. You know, then there's the other stuff. There's things like, well, what about my job? You know, and am I going to get laid off? And am I going to get paid while I'm laid off? You know, or am I going to lose my job? What about my retirement? What about my savings that I've saved up for years? And what about the financial ramifications of all of this with the country? And then, you know, worries, things that we thought we'd never have to worry about, you know, like toilet paper. It's like now all of a sudden, you know, it's like trying to find certain things. It's like we're worried about things that we thought we would never have to worry about. And so I think that to a certain degree, even if you're not worried about the virus itself, there are things that happen that causes us concern. And you know, the dictionary defines worry as mental distress or mental agitation resulting from concern, usually for something impending or something anticipated. And worry really is a universal problem. It's not confined to a segmented group of people, a class of people. For example, sometimes, you know, poor people will be like, well, you know, rich people, they don't have a care in this world. Look at that house. Look at that car. Look at all that money. They don't have a care in this world. And the truth is this, the more you have, the more you have to worry about. And rich people worry as much, if not more, than poor people. Take the coronavirus. The coronavirus doesn't care about your economic status. It isn't just something that's hitting third world countries that are stricken with poverty. No, it's hitting industrialized, prosperous countries. Really, at this point, I think harder than even the poorer countries. So then the question is this. Is worry and fear something that we just kind of have to live with? Is it just something we kind of have to bear? Or can we, in fact, live above worry? Can we live above it? And that's really the theme of this passage. In Luke chapter number 12, Jesus is talking to his disciples. If you look down at verse 22, it says, "Then said he to his disciples." So there you get the context. Jesus was speaking to a bigger crowd. And now all of a sudden in verse 22, he's gonna narrow this focus down to his 12 disciples. And he deals with this thing of worry. And just a casual glance through the passage will make that very clear that that's the subject matter, is worry, and it's anxiety. You say, Pastor Dan, why was he talking to the 12 about worry? You know, man, these guys, weren't they the upper echelon? I mean, these were the big guns, man. I mean, these guys shouldn't have been worrying. Well, they were human beings, and we know the 12 were very imperfect. We've learned that since the beginning of the year, that the 12 were far from perfect, and the 12 must have been struggling with this thing of anxiety and worry. You could see why. I mean, they'd all left their jobs, right? Every one of them had left their occupations. And not only that, they left their homes, most of them. They left the security behind. They had left everything that is normal, that would be like their default normal. It's all gone. It's all forgotten. And now they've left all this to follow Jesus Christ. So you know what? These guys are going through some times of anxiety. They're going through some grave concerns and some stressful times. And they're probably thinking, you know, what's going to become of us? You know, how's this going to end? Like what's going to happen here? And so they've got this anxiety. Jesus obviously knew they were stressed out to the max. And so now all of a sudden Jesus is just going to deal with the issue of worry, and he's going to deal with the issue of anxiety. And so if you have your Bible, We're just going to kind of look through the passage here and see how many times Jesus deals with worry or anxiety. Look at verse number 22. It says, "Then said he to his disciples, 'Therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, nor for your body, what you will wear.'" Now, if you have the older 1769 King James, it says, "Take no thought for your life." And it comes from two Greek words that means to be anxious about. And that's why I'm reading from the updated King James, the Modern English Version, which is an updated King James Version. And it actually uses that word. It says, "Do not be anxious for your life." In 1769, to be full of thought, when he says, "Take no thought for your life," if you were full of thought, that expression back in 1769 meant that you were worried, meant that you were very anxious. Now today, of course, it doesn't mean that in our culture. For our modern English today, we might read that, "Take no thought," you know, "Take no thought for your life. Don't even give your life a thought." And that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't be anxious and don't be worried. And in verse 25, if you skip down to verse 25, he uses the exact same word. He says, "Who of you by worrying can add one cubit to his height?" And this is kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. You know, Jesus probably had a kind of a grin on his face as he said this. Because, you know, he's using kind of a silly illustration of that. And he says, you know, if you think you're too short, if you worry enough about it, it's going to make you taller. You know, if you worry enough about it, are you going to grow an inch? And no, obviously not. And so it's kind of, like I said, a funny thing that he's sharing here. He says, "Who of you by worrying can add a cubit to his height?" And again, that word worrying is the exact same Greek word. It's the same word in verse 22. And it means to be anxious. It means to be worried. You say, well, you know, if you've got the King James, the old King James, it says, "Who of you by taking thought can add?" You say, why didn't they just use the word worry? Well, they didn't even have that word in 1769. The word worry, in the sense of the way we think of it today, mental agitation, mental distress, that didn't even begin to be used until 1804 is when that word began to be used. Languages are always developing. Some words become obsolete. Some words are new to a language all the time. Languages are developing over time. And so they didn't have that word back then, worry. But that's what it means. It means to be anxious. It means to be worried. So he used that word in verse 22. He talked about being worried and anxious in verse 25. Now go to verse 26. Let's look at it again. Same word again. "If you then cannot do what is least, why are you anxious about the other things?" Same exact word again. Three times in five verses, Jesus uses the word for anxiety or for worry. If you skip down to verse 29, look at that with me. In verse 29, he says, "And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be of an anxious mind." The old King James says, "Be of a doubtful mind." And what that means is that word for anxious there, the Greek word means to fluctuate. Don't you kind of get a picture there? It's the idea of a ship that's being tossed by waves. And he says, don't be of a doubtful mind. Don't be of an anxious mind. Don't be up and down in your emotions and in your mental state. So when Jesus said to not be of an anxious mind, you know, they weren't dealing, obviously, with the coronavirus. But you got to understand, they were dealing with life and death issues all the time. Their lives were in constant danger. And of course, in those days, they were dealing with pestilence and plagues and disease, unlike anything we could ever imagine here in America with our vaccines and medications that we have. And my point is this, is that when Jesus said to his disciples four times in this passage, "Do not be anxious, do not be worried," there was a reason he said that. And here it is. Faith and worry cannot dwell together. Faith, at least not for very long. Faith and worry cannot dwell together. Now, having said that, will worrisome thoughts cross your mind? Will fearful thoughts cross your mind? Of course they will. They wouldn't be human. You wouldn't be human if they didn't cross your mind. But there's a difference between a passing worrisome thought and then allowing those thoughts to like take root in your mind, take root down in the soil of your mind, and then allow those thoughts to germinate in our minds. There's a difference between a passing worrisome thought and then that thing, you just dwelling on it to where it takes root in your mind. Kind of like, you know, an illustration is that you may not be able to keep a bird from landing on your head. I mean, it just happens so quick, right? It's like that passing thought. That bird comes down, swoops down, poop, he lands on your head. But while a bird may land on your head, you do not have to allow him to build a nest up there, right? You don't have to let him build a nest, you know, up on your head. You know, people are like, what's that on your head? You're like, oh, that's a bird. Well, what's the bird doing up there? He's building a nest up on my head. I don't know what to do about it, but he's up there building a nest. And they're like, well, get him off of there. You know, shoo him off. And that's the idea of this, is that you can't control a worrisome thought, you know, that crosses your mind, but you don't have to let it build a nest in your heart. You don't have to let worrisome, fearful thoughts dwell in you and build a nest up in your heart, up in your mind. Faith has to overcome anxious thoughts at some point, or our faith will not be strong. If faith doesn't overcome those worrisome thoughts, if we let them build a nest in our heart and mind, then our faith will not be strong. That's why in the middle of this discourse, Jesus said this. Look at verse 28. Right in the middle of this thing about worry, verse 28, he says, if God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? And then he tells the 12, oh, you of little faith. Now, we've studied that. We know he said that before to them. He's told them that they've had little faith before. And again, the 12 were not spiritual giants. They didn't come from a rich religious history. The 12 were very ordinary men. You know, they were fishermen and farmers and tax collectors. And this motley group, he brought them together. And many times he would upbraid them for having little faith, little faith. And he says it again here in this text. He's talking about worry, and he says, oh, you of little faith. In other words, the subject matter is worry. And Jesus tells the 12, he's like, guys, worry is going to undermine your faith. It's going to cause you to have a little faith. Now, let me just be clear on something here, and I want to make sure I explain something. Faith is not living recklessly, and faith is not living ignorantly, all right? Faith is not like, well, I'm just going to trust in God, and so we live recklessly, we do stupid things and ignorant things. That's not faith. Faith is trusting in God, but it's not tempting God. It's not doing things that are just going to tempt God. For example, with the coronavirus right now, you know, we as a church, we want to be prudent. And we want to humbly follow the instructions of our governmental leaders, of our healthcare officials. And here's the thing, the Bible teaches us this, that unless our governmental officials, unless they ask us to do something that's just directly, I mean, it's a black and white command, unless they ask us to do something that is absolutely against Scripture, then the Bible teaches that we need to listen to and we need to humbly follow the instruction of our officials that God has put over us. And, you know, it's like I said last week, you know, we are going to trust in God, and we are going to have faith in God, but that doesn't mean we're going to go around licking doorknobs and licking, you know, handrails and just, you know, well, you know what? I like the way doorknobs taste, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm not going to worry about it, you know, because my trust is in God. Now, that's an extreme example, but I think you get my point. You know, if our officials say, look, it would be prudent to do this based on your situation, or it would be prudent to not do that, then we want to cooperate. You know, we want to comply. And you know, we may be saving somebody's life by doing that. You know, I mean, we're not God. We don't know. I mean, we could be a carrier and not know it. So we want to make sure that we're following the instructions and following the advice of our governmental leaders and doing exactly what they ask us to do. Now, do I miss our corporate worship services? Greatly. I mean, I miss them terribly. I miss them. I mean, I love our band, you know, here, but I'm not used to having 9 people in here listening to me preach, you know, and they're great, you know. I mean, they're with me, but well, they're amening down here. But I, you know, it's like I miss this. I miss our corporate worship, and I miss the fellowship, the love that you feel. I miss all that. I miss I only get to preach once now, you know, on Sunday morning. I love preaching 3 times. That's what I live to do, and I miss that. You know, I love being able to do it for 3 times. And you know, but at the same time, our president of the United States has asked us to not have meetings larger than 10 people temporarily. It's a temporary thing, you know, and so we want to be prudent, we want to be wise, we want to be humble, we want to listen to what our leaders are telling us to do, and at the same time, we're not going to go and curl up in our beds in fear, right? And we're not going to get eaten up with anxiety over this either. The word anxious means to be distracted, to have a divided mind. I think all of us kind of associate with that, right? You're worried about a big test coming up if you're a student, or you know, you're worried because you had a fight with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or you had a fight with your spouse, or and you can't really concentrate on this over here because this over here, you're worried about this over here. And you guys know what that means. Worry, that's the idea of the word worry and anxiety. It's a divided mind. It means that we're distracted, we're divided in our thinking. And I really believe that many of you probably right now are struggling with that. You know, you're trying to work your job, but, you know, you're concerned about this or that. And you know, many of us right now, I think, are struggling with worry. We're struggling with anxiety. We're struggling with this, you know, and that's certainly understandable, but not desirable. You know, we do not want worry to consume us. And this text, like all of God's Word, it has the ability to truly build us up in our faith. And Jesus deals very straightforwardly with the issue of fear, anxiety, and worry. And so we want to listen to Jesus. We want to heed what he says. We want to let this build us up. We want to grow. He tells his disciples, his followers, he gives them several thoughts here, and I'm going to kind of lay this out. The first one is this, is number one, Jesus taught them that worry is unreasonable. That's the first thing. He taught them that worry is unreasonable. And he uses an illustration that every single one of us, he uses 2 illustrations from everyday life that every one of us deal with every day. You say, what? Food and clothes, right? Every day you're dealing with food and clothes. So look at it with me. Let's go to verse number 22. It says, then said he to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, nor for your body, what you will wear. He says, life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. And so Jesus uses an illustration from everyday life, and he says, guys, you worry about your food, right? You worry about your clothes, and he says, life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. What you hang on your body is more than just what you hang on it. At least it should be for a Christ follower. Now, a materialist is someone who believes that this life is it. A materialist believes that life is only what you can see, it's what you can touch, taste, feel. And so it makes, you know, and again, I want to, you know, if we want to put it this way, it really doesn't make sense. But for a materialist, it makes sense for them to worry about material things because that's really what they worship in essence. They worship material things. But we worship God. And God is a spirit. God's a spirit. God's not a material thing. And so if you believe in God and you worship God, and you're a Christ follower, you're not a materialist. And so we understand that our bodies, the Bible says, are for the Lord. Our bodies are for the Lord. He indwells our bodies. He owns our bodies. We're bought with a price, and everything that we have belongs to God. He's the owner. He created everything material. Everything material, God created. John 1:3 says, all things were created through him, and without him, nothing was created that was created. So God created all material things. He's the owner of everything material. In fact, there's a verse I'd like to bring up, and it's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Look at this. He says, what? He says, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? He says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, notice the next two words, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, notice, which are God's. They belong to God. So worrying about physical things, Jesus said, is unreasonable. You're worried about material, physical things. Jesus says that's unreasonable. Why? Because it all belongs to God. So that means, okay, you know what? I do my best with what God's given to me. I do my best. I try to be a good steward of what he's given to me and entrusted to me, but then I have to leave the results to God. And that's why Paul, when he was in prison and he was facing possible death, Paul could say with such peace, you know what? I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm not going to be ashamed. He said, with all boldness, he says, I am going to magnify Christ in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He said, for to me to continue living is Christ. And then he said, to die is gain. And so Jesus basically says to the 12, don't live like a materialist. He says, worrying about material things all the time. He says, no, this life is much more than material things. It's about glorifying God with everything that we have. He said, number one, worry is unreasonable. But then number two, he taught that worry is unnatural. Worry is unnatural for a Christian, for a child of God. And Jesus is going to use two more illustrations. He used two from everyday life, and now he's going to use two illustrations from nature to kind of calm the disciples. They were worried. They were stressed out. Their nerves were shot. And so he's going to use two illustrations from nature to try to calm their nerves down. If you look at verse number 24 here, and he's going to use the illustration of a raven. I'll bring up a picture here of a raven. That's there you have a picture of a bird. It's a raven. And look what he said about the raven. Look at verse 24. He said, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. In other words, they're not like a farmer. They're not out there planting seeds and growing crops. He says, they don't sow. They don't reap. He says, they have neither storehouses nor barns, yet God feeds them. And then he says, how much more valuable are you than birds? He's like, guys, can't you just picture Jesus talking to the 12? He's like, guys, when's the last time you heard of a bird dying from anxiety over not having a reserve food bank? And this is meant to contrast with the rich fool that he told him about right before this. Look up at verse 16. Right before this, he tells a story, and in verse 16, it says, he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. He thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have no room to store my crops. Man, I got so much stuff. What am I going to do with all my stuff? He's stressed out over all of his stuff. And then he said, verse 18, this I will do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater ones. And there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. Man, I'm gonna hoard all this stuff up. I'm going to have all this stuff. And verse 19, he says, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take rest, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. He's going to die. He said, then whose will those things be which you have provided? Jesus said, so is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then said he to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you'll eat, nor for your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? So now we kind of get even more of the context here, don't we, of what Jesus was talking about with the 12. And he starts it out with this parable of the rich fool. He was a materialist. Like we said, he thought it was all about his portfolio and what he had and all the stuff he had in his financial portfolio. And this guy's all about that. And he dies. Unexpectedly, he dies. And Jesus said, so is he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And then, boom, he goes into all this about worry and anxiety and cares. And he uses the illustration of a raven, birds. And he says, guys, you know what? They don't have a storehouse, 6 months supply. He says, but yet, you know, he says, you got this guy over here who dies a stressed out fool, worried about his stuff. And he's like, guys, listen, ravens don't worry. They make it. God feeds them daily. How much more valuable are you than birds? And Jesus is like, guys, God's got this. It's going to be okay. And then he uses another illustration from nature. He not only uses the bird, but then he's going to use the lily. And if we can go ahead and bring that up. Got a picture here of a lily. And go to the next one there. I think it's kind of more of a close-up. Beautiful flower, you know. And we can go ahead and take it down now. But you got this illustration from nature, the special interest and the intricate care that God places on this on the beautiful adornment of this little wild wayside flower. And Jesus said that should create in us a confident trust in God's faithful provision for each of his children. The flowers of the field grow. They're magnificent. They're beautiful. They're clothed in beauty. And it happens without worry, without care, without labor, without planning, without management, without emotional worries. He says, how much more will our Heavenly Father care for us who are his blood-bought children? And in this text, Jesus tells his followers that they are valuable to God. Look down with me here. Let's skip over. We'll read the verse here about the lilies. Go down to verse number 27. He says, consider how the lilies grow. They neither spin nor weave. And the idea there is like someone who is at a sewing machine, you know, and they're making clothes and stuff. And he says, they don't do that. Consider how the lilies grow. They neither spin nor weave. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed, was not clothed like one of these. And Jesus tells his followers, using the illustration of birds and flowers, he says, you know what? You're more valuable to God than a bird or a flower. Worry is unnatural for a child of God. Worry causes you, though, to forget your value. Worry causes you to forget your worth to God. Now, let me say this. Did we deserve to be saved? Did we deserve to be forgiven of all of our sins? Did we deserve to be placed in the family of God? Of course not. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. God deemed you worth saving. He deemed you worth saving. And God and Jesus came for you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus saved you, and Jesus is coming back for you. Don't you think he'll take care of you in between? We worry and we fret sometimes because we forget who we are in Christ. The old you is dead and buried with Christ. All the sin, that's all dead and buried. And now you've been raised up with Christ, and it's his life. It's his life that's within you. It's his life that possesses your body. In fact, if you look on the screen, let's bring up Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It's no longer I who live. Think about that. He said, it's no longer I, the old Paul, who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus is trying in this text to get across to his disciples. He's trying his best to try to get across to them that worry is unnatural for a child of God. It's against nature. You know, your dog doesn't get nervous and worried that there isn't going to be food enough for him today. Probably right now as I speak, your dog's probably curled up somewhere. He's sleeping soundly and, you know, he's resting. He's not pacing the floor in anxiety. You know, have you ever seen a cow in a pasture worrying there's not going to be enough grass? Or have you ever seen a squirrel that's just stressed out, dies over anxiety because he's afraid there ain't going to be enough nuts? Or a bird that's worried sick because his nest isn't as big as his neighbor's nest? You know, or a cat pacing the floor because she's concerned because there isn't a 6-month supply of cat litter stored up, you know? No. And by the way, I want to throw this out. This isn't the time to hoard. And this isn't the time to be selfish. Listen, yes, make sure that your family's needs are met, but then share and be kind and be generous. And if you have extra and some people have none, be a good neighbor and be willing to share. I want you to look at verse 29. This is so good. Look at verse 29. He says, and do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be of an anxious mind. Now look at this. For the nations, verse 30, for the nations of the world seek all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek the kingdom of God. Did you see that phrase, your Father? Did you know that is not said of creation? To creation, flowers, animals, to creation, God is the creator. But to us, he's our Father. We're family. And he's the perfect Father who loves us and will take care of us. Let's look at this one more time, verse 27. Consider how the lilies grow. They neither spin nor weave. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be of an anxious mind. For the nations of the world seek all these things. And your Father knows that you need them. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you. Next week, I want to continue our journey through this incredible passage. And next week, I want to kind of continue to unpack some amazing truths that Jesus shares with the 12 disciples about this issue of worry and anxiety. But for today, let's just think about what we've learned. Jesus taught that worry is unreasonable, and he uses two illustrations of everyday life, food and clothes. And then he says worry is unnatural, and he uses two more illustrations from nature of flowers and birds. And he says you are more valuable than birds. And so I hope and pray that this has encouraged you today. I hope and pray that it's built up your faith, you know, and hopefully it's encouraged your heart today. And so what we're going to do now is our band still has some great songs that they want to do with you that will just inspire you and it'll just fill your heart and soul just full, you know. And so our band is going to come and they're going to do a few more songs. And before we do that, though, I'm going to pray for all of us right now. And so let's pray together for our church, our country, our leadership.